Welcome back to another episode of Swamp Donkey Radio. I am joined, as always, by producer Ronnie. And as well, we have a very special moment in Swamp Donkey Radio history. He's a YouTuber. Matt's podcast recently passed 100,000 subscribers. Please welcome Jolly Olive to the donkey section.
I'm trying that out.
Did it work? I don't know.
Am I the inaugural member of the donkey section?
You are. That's the awesome. Inaugural member. How you doing, Jolly?
I'm good, man. I'm happy you're living out every man's dream, which is starting his own podcast. Yeah, it's big. Every man goes through it at some point.
No, every man's dream is starting his own podcast out of his basement, and his five friends listen, and they're like, dude, you kind of know balls.
And so, you check the group chat. It's like, you guys listened this week, right?
Oh, you send the link in like your Facebook wall. You're like, everybody check it out right now.
You message and Slack, hey, what'd you guys think of Donkey Section? You guys like it?
Episode 5, tune in.
Dude, that reminds me of a story. When me and Jack first started our like first original podcast, like 4 years ago at this point, every time we do an episode, I'd get the link and go into random Facebook groups.
Oh, dude.
Like Baseball Fans 2.0, and I just spam the link. Never worked.
So
every day I'd post it like 150 times on like a Facebook group.
I am banned in like 5 different MLB subreddits for doing that exact thing.
r/MLB no self promotion. I was self promoting. I was in there like, guys, please listen.
Please make one exception for me.
But I'm really excited to have you on. We got a big show planned today. Zach Wheeler just signed an extension right before we hopped on the mics. Jolly's going to give us a Cy Young rundown. Whoa. And we will talk about the AL and NL East and buy or sell our teams. First, Ronnie, how was your weekend? Anything new happen?
Weekend was beautiful. First 60-degree weather. Mm. You know, it sucks that it comes down a little bit, but I mean, I took full advantage of the sun.
I'm happy. You bought a new baseball glove, so.
Oh my God, yeah, and I can't wait to break it in.
The We Got Eyes fans are excited. What's the brand? A2K?
We got Rawlings. I'm a Rawlings guy. Mm. R, Ronnie, I guess.
I get it.
I was attracted to it.
When it comes in, you can show it off on the pod. What about you, Jaws? Anything exciting?
I soaked in the weather yesterday. We both got a nice run in. I hooped a little bit, which was nice. I hooped poorly, I should add. But it was good, man. It took full advantage, and then now it's back to being overcast and cloudy. So.
You heard it. Jolly's on fraud watch in terms of hooping, but we can move on from
crazy.
That. Let's do a quick little spring training check-in, because I didn't get to watch a ton of games this weekend, but there was some big storylines coming out. Let's start off with the biggest one. Zach Wheeler signs an extension with the Phillies for 3 years, $126 million. And you said that was the highest annual salary?
Highest annual AAV for an extension. Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, I got a Phillies hat on. I'm going to be riding with them today. Jolly's got a Mets hat on. The Phillies offseason is very interesting to me because they didn't really bring in anybody that's going to move the needle for you, but they locked up Nola and Wheeler for the next... Nola, I think, was a 6-year contract. Right. Now Wheeler is a 3-year contract. Both their aces are locked up, and most players on that team, Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, Schwarber, Realmuto, they're all on these big boy contracts now. So they're kind of just saying, hey, this is our core, and we're going to ride with it. Jolly, what's your first reaction as a Mets fan to this extension?
You know, I'm really happy for Zach because Zach is one of the guys that I can't really root against. Oh, it's really hard for me from a Mets fan perspective. I had a moment with Jack as we were walking to the office, and I was saying, he's never coming home. And I was like, wait a minute, Philly's home now. He's been in Philly for many years, and those were his best years. They had a great offseason, man. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. They kept everyone together. They kind of followed the Braves model of everyone's going to be here for the next 5 or so years. That's our window. And they also added Whit Merrifield, which is like a nice bonus piece to their bench. And they didn't need to add a ton because they've been to 2 straight NLCSs, and it doesn't look like they're going to miss it again unless something goes wrong. So I really like what Philly did this offseason.
I'm really happy that they paid Zach Wheeler as well because he was, in my opinion, one of the most underrated and underpaid players in baseball the last 4 years when he was with Philly. He finished 2nd in Cy Young. Each year, he's throwing 180 innings to under 3 ERA. Last year was his highest ERA as a Philly. He's been really, really good. So I'm happy they finally paid him, and I think this contract is going to get him on the front of a lot of baseball fans' minds. I am very excited for the Phillies this year. They're playing in a tough division in terms of they might have the best team in baseball in their division, but they beat them twice in a row in the playoffs. So we'll get to that later on. Good move for the Phillies. And also, I like that you called him Zach.
Yeah. We're on a first name basis.
Have you guys ever interacted?
Me and Zach? No. But I hope to one day. I hope one day we can meet.
The spelling of Zach's always throws me off. Like, if we had to rank how to spell Zach, I like Z-A-C-K, even though I'm not a Zach.
I like K better, yeah.
K's a strong one.
I can't trust an H.
You throw me an H out there, and I'm like, what secrets are you hiring? Hiding.
But you throw a Q in there, then we get
No, that's insane.
That wasn't the only signing this week. Ronnie's Giants added Matt Chapman to a three-year $54 million contract with opt-outs after the first 2 years. So basically, it's the Cody Bellinger contract all over again. There are a couple things. I am really excited about the Giants this season. I think they have a lot of potential, despite their rotation scares me a little bit. But I like their lineup a lot. And I don't know if this moves the needle for me in any way. I think it does. But Jolly, does it move for you?
You know, it's interesting. Like you said, the Giants have objectively had a good offseason. Yeah. They brought in Soler. They brought in Chapman. They brought in, you know, Jordan Hicks. And you can temper that whichever way you want. Matt Chapman, it's tough for him because I believe there was an offer, $150 million on the table from the Blue Jays, which he rejected early in the offseason. He ends up landing here in opt-out territory. So he still could get that big deal at the end of it. But I like it for the Giants. They bided their time. They waited to see the price come down, and they got Chapman for, I think, what is a reasonably fair deal, and now they get platinum glove defense at third base and another bat in the middle of their lineup. So it's definitely not a bad thing. It's just the NL West is so crazy competitive that they need a lot of things to click their way, but they're at least putting themselves in a good position to have that happen.
I like Chapman in the Giants. I think that makes a lot of sense. Even if it's for a one-year deal, I like adding defense to this team. I think that's, they brought in, same thing with his name keeps slipping my mind, Ho Lee, right? That's the
Jung Ho Lee.
He's also like projected to be a really, really good defender. You know, we'll see how the bat develops in baseball and MLB, but his defense is not to be questioned. So that's two guys you're adding to bolster your defense. I like that a lot for them.
Definitely.
So that excites me. You know, I like fun baseball teams. The one thing that does interest me a lot is you brought this up with the $150 million deal with the Blue Jays, and I'm not one of these, I'm not like overanalyzing the whole Scott Boras contract situation, but it does interest me that both Bellinger and now Chapman have taken these three-year opt-out deals that probably neither of them were like super excited about, because I mean, for Bellinger, he's coming off a really good season with the Cubs,
right?
And Chapman, he didn't have a bad year. So what I'm interested is, do you think this affects Snell and Monty? Are we going to get another opt-out deal? Because there were some reports this weekend, you know, maybe Snell goes to the Phillies on a short-term contract with an opt-out. Maybe Montgomery does the same thing. Do you think we're going down that road with them, or is this just because, you know, maybe Chapman and Bellinger aren't as proven for that investment?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question because your Bo Sox are also checking in on Monty. Like, they're still keeping tabs there. So, I mean, you never know. But I think it's a little different for pitchers, especially for Snell, because, like, what does he have left to prove? He's won two Cy Youngs. He just won the Cy Young. You're never going to get a better contract here. So if I'm him, I'm going to keep holding out. And for Monty, it's a tough turn, but he doesn't really have that same resume, in my opinion, even if you think you can rely on him more. With the position players, Belly, it made sense to me because you have those off years in 21 and 22, and that scares you. But it kind of lands in a situation where, like, I don't know, if it's not as good as you want it to be for Cubs fans because they don't get to rely on Belly for the next 7 years. Like, if he has a great year this year, if he's better than he was last year, he's just going to opt out, and they're going to have to go through all this again. For Chapman, he's weird because his bat has been so inconsistent, but you know what you're getting on his defensive side. It's just, I hope that that kind of pans out a little bit. Like, if he wins a gold glove and he has another positive offensive season, he could probably opt out too. I don't love the trend. It makes sense in terms of what Boras Kleins went through, but it kind of stinks because I like seeing players get their big 5 to 6 year deal when they've been established good players for like 5 to 6 years already. So I hope it's a trend that doesn't continue, but I think like someone like Jordan Montgomery might end up in that territory.
That was very well put. I agree. The whole Snell taking a 1 year or a 2 year, or even 3 year contract, I think is insane. If I'm Blake
Snell, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
That's the best year, the best contract year you literally can have. You won the Cy Young, and there are a lot of questions from fans about you, even if they're deserved, maybe not deserved. Don't settle. Like, hold out. I don't even care if you have to wait till May, dude. It doesn't matter. This is your chance to cash in. Eventually, a team is going to pay you.
Yeah,
you just have to find when that moment is. For Montgomery, I think it's a little different. But for Snell, you have two Cy Youngs in the bag. You're 30 years old. This is your chance to get that seven-year big boy contract. And there are teams who will eventually pay you. Right. So I hope for him he doesn't settle. And if he does, you know, then I think you have to look at Scott Boras and be like, hey, man, what were you doing?
Are you washed up?
I mean, you got a Cy Young candidate on the free agent market, and everyone needs pitching. No matter who you are, you need pitching.
Right.
I mean, we'll talk about the Mets. I mean, the Yankees could use another starter. The Dodgers, hell, they got a lot of pitchers. There are a lot of questions there. I bet they would like Snell. So somebody should pay him. I hope they do. Sorry, that got me fired up. I don't like when people are like, Snell should just take a short-term contract. I'm like, dude, he's just going to lose himself money that way.
Right.
Just wait it out. Be patient. You waited this far in your career. Wait a little bit longer. Little fun story that happened. I only brought this up because there's one player in this talk that I'm really excited about this year. Paul Skeens faced Jackson Holiday during spring training, but what really interested me was Paul Skeens, number one pick in this year's draft, Jackson Holiday, number one pick in last year's draft, was throwing to Henry Davis, former number one overall pick, with Adley Rutschman on deck. Now, Jolly, a lot of young talent in baseball league. I feel like players are getting to the major league faster than ever. Jackson Holiday could be on the opening day roster at 20 years old. Makes me 3 years older than him.
Which is crazy.
Out of those three players, Henry Davis, Paul Skeens, and Jackson Holiday, who do you think has the best 2024 at the pro level?
Ooh, okay. I think it's Holiday for that question because I do think he's going to crack the opening day roster. And he's going to hit like Gunnar did. And I think it's just going to be an instant success. But like Paul Skeens really excites me because we really haven't seen buzz around a pitching prospect like this since like Strasburg. And that was like, I remember growing up and seeing the Strasburg debut and being like a division rival fan and being like, oh shit, this guy's going to terrorize this division for like the next decade, which is exactly what he did.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Pirates fans need because they haven't had that since like Garrett Cole came up.
Been a while.
He lit the league on fire as soon as he came. He had his growing pains, but he was still Garrett Cole back then. I think Paul Skeens is capable of that too, but I don't think they're going to rush him up as early as this year. And like, don't sleep on a guy like Henry Davis either.
He's my pick.
Henry Davis, they were yanking him around last year. They wouldn't let him catch. They brought him up way too early. I think his sophomore season will be a lot better. So I'm interested to hear what you have to say about him.
I'm all in on Henry Davis this year. I agree. I think last year was one of those. We see this a lot with baseball teams. I'm going to date myself here, but I remember in like 2014, the Red Sox had Blake Swihart. He didn't end up panning out.
I liked Blake Swihart.
I did too. But a big thing they did with him is, I got to fix my moose, is they never they never let him just catch.
Right.
They were like, you're an outfielder today. You're a first baseman. Now you're a catcher. Obviously, he didn't end up working out in Major League Baseball, so maybe they were right. But I hate when you bring up a catching prospect or someone who has been in that position their entire life and you put him in a new position as well as he's learning to hit Major League pitching.
Right.
Now, Henry Davis is projected to be maybe at best an average defensive catcher and an offensive player. So last year he didn't hit well. And I contribute that a lot to the inconsistency he had at the major league level. This year they're saying, hey, we're going to let you start as our opening day catcher and you're going to get a lot of chance this year. So I think this is the best opportunity to see what he has. He is a former number one overall pick. I really liked him when he got drafted. I think he's going to have a good sophomore year this year. And when you said pitchers getting hyped, it made me think of Jack Leiter.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's what happened when you guys said
he didn't perform well last year, but he
didn't perform well. But that's over yet. So that's the only thing that worries me initially when it's like a pitcher, you know, first year in the pro system. Is I remember when Jack Leiter came out of college, it was like he's the dude, and Kumar Rocker, like they were like these are gonna be the guys, and you know, then you get to the pro system and maybe takes a little bit to adjust, you know, pro hitting.
Yeah.
So Henry Davis is my guy, although Jackson Holiday could easily have one. I thought that was a fun question.
Yeah,
so
and like Henry Davis. They batted him fifth 30 times in his rookie year with, like, no one behind him. So it was instantly like, hey, can you come up and be our offense for, you know, half the season or whatever it ended up being? And also, just because I looked into it, there was one more number one pick in that game.
Who was it?
Adley Rutschman.
Oh, yeah.
Four of the last five number one picks have been Pirates and Orioles, which is hilarious.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, maybe you're trying going forward. And it's what really interests me is how they handle their number one picks.
Right.
Like, so I'm interested to see how the Orioles handle Jackson Holiday because we saw with Henry Davis, maybe it's better to not play Major League Baseball if there's not a consistent spot for you.
Right.
And at bats and an easy way for you to get accumulated to the MLB level. So maybe it's better to leave Holiday down in AAA. Make sure he plays at shortstop every single day and gets at bats because there's a topic about defense that I want to talk about when we get to the Orioles section. Last thing I had here was this isn't Major League Baseball, but it made me laugh. The Danville Dairy Daddies
will join
the Old North State League this summer, and they have a mascot named McCreamy and play on a field of creams. That made me laugh. I don't know why, but that made me laugh.
What's their? They have like a tagline at the end of their tweets.
I haven't seen it yet. I just saw the name, and I wanted to get a 1 out of 10 ranking from all of us on the name. Because I'm giving it a 7 out of 10 because it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
It made Twitter headlines, which is as a minor league team or any independent ball team. That's literally all you're trying to do is just get people to remember who you are. Made me laugh. So I give it a 7 out of 10 for creativity.
I like it.
a little weird to say.
Their hashtag on Twitter is hashtag get milked.
which I think took it down for me a little bit.
6.5 out of 10.
Yeah, I think I'm at a 6. I'm at a 6.
Where are you coming in, Ronnie?
11 out of 10.
I love it. You love the Dairy Daddies?
Who is this guy?
Everything about it. And you saying, get what, milked? Oh, dude, get milked, bro. Like,
get
imagine,
milked?
Imagine saying that to another.
Such an aggressive
it's
thing
very
to say.
Aggressive.
Get milked, bro.
Get milked, bro. I think it's awesome. I love the branding, too.
I did want to pitch one last thing to you, Jolly, before we moved on.
Sure.
A player I'm really excited about this year, and I'm trying to see if I'm buying too much into it or not, is Ha-Sung Kim.
Mm.
Because each year in Major League Baseball, he's had a better OPS and a better OPS plus than the season before. Last year, he won a gold glove
right
as shortstop. This is fourth year. He's going to be 28 years old. Or he's, 28 years old this season. And I really do think he's going to have, like, a breakout, like, top 10 MVP year.
I mean,
I'm invested in him.
If you want to play the war game, he was already a top 10 player last year. He was 5.8 war, which is not easy to do, and you have to be playing stellar defense. The guy was so good that he bumped a perennial MVP candidate shortstop in the second year of an 11-year deal from his position to a position he's never played before. That's how good Ha-Sung Kim is defensively. So much so that the Padres had to change plans completely. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for him too, man. He had a little bit of streakiness last year, but last year was his best offensive year. Also, one thing that bears mentioning, he stole 38 bases last year.
It's crazy.
Which, like, I didn't realize was that much a part of his game because he went from 6 to 12 to 38 with the new rule. So you could see, like, a potential 30-30 season for Ha-Sung Kim.
Exactly. I'm predicting 800 OPS, top 10 MVP with that glove. I'm really invested in him. He's a player I'm monitoring closely. I really like his game, his swing. Is beautiful to me, and it got sparked by him hitting a nuke this spring training, and I remember how much I liked him.
Hell yeah.
I was like, let's go.
I like that pick.
Let's do a quick little segment with you, Jolly. I got some questions for you. I want to start off first with a recent Jolly Olive video. Oh, go boy. Watch and subscribe. You predicted Freddy Peralta would win NL Cy Young. I watched the video. It's really good.
Spoiler.
Well done. And I recently predicted George Kirby would win AL Cy Young. So I want to know, who are some other guys you were considering for NL Cy Young? And why Peralta?
Oh, okay. That's a good question. Partly Peralta because I like the series of kind of just like giving a spotlight to a guy who I think is going to break out this year. There's a lot of competition in the NL. I'm not certain that he will win, but I like his chances as a guy who's never gotten a vote before. But in terms of other guys in the NL, you can't really ignore Logan Webb. And there's going to be a lot asked of him this year. That rotation is thin. They're going to need 200 plus innings from him of good baseball.
Spencer Strider, man.
Spencer Strider.
Strike out 300 guys this year.
If you watch the video, it's a lot about how Peralta is a shorter guy. He releases from a lower angle. Spencer Strider does all those things too, and he throws harder, and he's got a new pitch and a curveball too. So, like, yeah, obviously Spencer Strider is going to be a sexy pick for NL Cy Young this year. So I think any of those two guys are going to be up there with, like, your kind of wild card picks and, like, Steele and Peralta and those guys. But the NL is cool because it feels a lot more, like, open as, like, anyone can step up. Like, last year it was a tug of war. Like, it wasn't certain that Snell was going to win until the very end of the year. And in the AL, it was kind of Garrett Cole in August, and that was just it.
Yeah.
Like, there was, you know, Kevin Gausman had a good year, but it feels much more open in the National League, which is what excites me. So I think you could throw out pretty much any ace on any team, and there's an argument to be made.
I like your Freddy Peralta pick because it wasn't the obvious one, which I really appreciated because, I mean, Logan Webb, Spencer Strider, Zach Wheeler just signed his contract extension. Right. He's been pretty close to breaking through for a Cy Young himself. A lot of guys in the NL that could easily get that. And Corbin Burns just left the Brewers, so maybe it's time to add a new Cy Young pitcher to that rotation. So I liked that a lot. I thought that was very well done and not the easy pick, so good job there.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Now, I just talked about Ha-Sung Kim. Is there a position player you're eyeing that you think could have a potential breakout? Not to put you on the spot, but is there anyone that you've been looking at for a video where you're like, oh, this guy, he might be special this year?
Let's see. For a potential breakout, right? Now we're talking, not talking MVP.
Not talking MVP. I'm talking about, like, people at the end of the year bring his name up when they're trying to prove that they know ball.
I really like the Reds this year.
Okay.
Their offense, because it's just a bunch of guys that, like, kind of stepped up because they got playing time last year. And one guy that excites me is a guy that we're actually friends with at John Boy Media, Will Benson, who the Cleveland Guardians kind of just let slip through the cracks. He played 108 games last year, which is by far his largest sample size. 11 home runs, 19 stolen bases, 863 OPS, and not much of that was just inflated by the Red Sox ballpark.
I like this.
He's another guy that, like, kind of what you said with Cam, I just really like his swing. Like,
that's really all that matters for me.
Like, his first homer in the major leagues was a walk-off against the Dodgers, and he pimped the hell out of it, and I instantly was like, that's got to be one of my
guys.
Isn't
that crazy how that one moment can totally alter your view of that player for his entire career?
But that's what makes the sport awesome. Like, you can just catch that random game that you wouldn't have otherwise been watching and fall in love with the player. So I really like Will Benson this year. I think that with, you know, a full 120, 140 games that he's going to get with the Reds, I think he can really pop off. He's only going to be 26 years old. And that list of Guardians players that they just let go for nothing continues to grow. And I think it's only going to get worse.
I mean, four more first round pick.
Yeah.
I mean, he's only 25 years old.
Means something to me.
A lot of potential there. I mean, yeah. I like that a lot. Also, Will Benson. That's an interesting name.
It's a star name, I think.
Benson. Is that a last name? I get first name energy from Benson.
Benson's a last name.
Son of
Ben. Is it a last name?
Son of Ben. Just like Richardson Johnson.
Mm, thanks for the history lesson.
Gotcha, bro. That's what I'm here for.
Son of Ben? Get out of here, bro.
Will.
Ronnie got
House
a new
ben.
Glove. Now he's talking like he's very, a king.
He's an intellectual.
Oh, that made me laugh.
Son of Ben.
Okay, last question I have for you on this specific topic. If someone recently asked me what's like being a Red Sox fan in an office full of Yankees fans. So I don't make Red Sox content. Right. But I find it very interesting that you make Mets content. So I'm interested. What's it like being a Mets creator at a company full of Yankees fans? Do you find it challenging? Do you like it?
I mean, what the? No one saw that. That was crazy.
Ronnie sent a heart to Jolly.
Yeah, he
camera.
Did this. It was very special. Sweet. It's annoying sometimes because there is a little bit of LOL Mets that goes on. And, like, you know, it is the Mets, so it kind of invites that kind of thing. But at the same time, like, when they were winning a lot in 2022, there was kind of, like, a mutual respect thing going on. And, like, it was nice to see both New York teams kind of eating pretty well.
Yeah.
So I think the dichotomy is different because with Red Sox and Yankees, they're direct rivals, and there's kind of just open hatred. Whereas Mets and Yankees, there's like the little brother BS, and like the Subway Series is fun, but they always split it every year. So the rivalry is just not that. It's not really there.
Yeah.
I think we both just kind of want to see our team do better than the other team. But in terms of making content, like, you know, I love making Mets content, and there's a lot of like reactionary Mets fans out there. So I think bringing a more temperate approach is like an advantage for us.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of Yankee fans that work at Jumbo Media.
See, I think it's cool that you're one of the few Mets people and probably the only Mets creator in the office where everyone else is talking about the Yankees. I think it's a nice little lane you have.
Because I know, they're all just talking about the same thing.
Exactly.
Over and over
it gives you an opportunity to kind of branch out, make
it
your
won't
own.
Be changed to swing. Ooh.
Oh my God. As a Yankee fan, it gets annoying.
Exactly. And when like I'm doing this show, if I want to talk about the Yankees, I have a plethora of people to pick from. If I want to talk about the Mets, you know, I got one guy. So that's exciting. Huge. Let's get to our main segment, the one I'm most excited and why we have Jolly on the show today. We're going to be buy or selling AO and NO East teams. So we're going to do this off a couple things. We're going to base off Fangraph playoff percentage. So odds that they make the playoffs or odds they make the World Series. Mm. We'll look at each of the teams and we'll say, hey, we like those odds. And maybe they're a little too high. Maybe they're a little too low. And we'll buy or sell them for the 2024 season. You want to start AO East or NO East?
Let's start AO East.
Now I got to do a hat change, guys. You That's know, right. I'm always prepared for this.
I'll go backwards hat. A
lot of hat movement. Wow.
Good hat movement. Red Sox hat on for the AO East segment. Phillies hat on for the NO East segment. Huge. Now, Jolly, let's start with the Blue Jays. I want to start with them because there's a team I'm most interested in this division because there is a one team that I don't have an answer to this question. Now, their chance to make the playoffs. Is that 47.5%, fourth most in the AL East. I think that's right in my head. That's kind of exactly where I have them. Their offseason was interesting. They lost Matt Chapman, but they bring in Justin Turner, so trading out defense for offense there. They have the fifth oldest position player group in 2023, and they just added Turner's this year, so it's probably going to go up. And that's weird because in my mind, the whole narrative around the Blue Jays is the young up-and-coming Blue Jays, but that's not correct. They're here, man. Like, they've been here for a couple years. It's, like, winning time for them. They're getting older. A lot of contracts are coming up soon. And it felt like their whole offseason was around the Ohtani flight.
Yeah.
You know, they had Ohtani. And then he didn't go there, and nothing happened for them. So what's your initial thought on the Blue Jays?
Yeah, it's weird, man. Like, I kind of wish they did more, but they were good last year. They were an 89-win team, and, like, their rotation was nails, even without Alek Manoah being there. So if you can play the narrative of like, oh, if Manoah bounces back and he is who he was, then that rotation gets even better and Justin Turner can still hit it around and he's nice as your DH. But I'm kind of left wishing they did more. And I think Blue Jays fans are kind of in that boat too. Like this was kind of a window for them and like not getting Ohtani takes the wins out of your sails, but it's not like they didn't make an effort to clearly. I think fourth and what was it? 41%, 47%. That kind of feels fair.
47.5%.
It's still a team that I think can be the wild card. I don't think they're a division winning ceiling team. I could be proven wrong because if Vladdy goes 2021 mode, George Springer plays a full season healthy, Turner is who he is, and Bo Bichette stays healthy, like that's a top four you can buy into as one of the best in the American League. It's just a lot of ifs, and like that always scares me off with any team.
Yeah, I think I'm out on them. Like to put it frank, like yeah, I like their roster. Bo Bichette's one of my favorite players to watch. Kevin Gausman is insane.
Yeah,
there's just I don't know the vibe around them, and coming off of last year, I think this division got better. I don't love them as a top two team in this division, which is kind of how I'm judging it. And if you want a guaranteed and not be a 50-50 chance to make the playoffs, I think you got to be a top two team in your division. And for the Blue Jays, I don't think that's gonna happen.
Yeah, I mean...
So I think the mark is perfect. I think they're a 50-50 chance to go into the playoffs. So I'm happy with their line is. And I believe in Bo Bichette. I believe in Vladdy. I mean, George Springer, can he stay healthy for a whole season? He's getting older. That's kind of a tougher ask for him. I don't know. I don't love it. I don't love it overall. And not. I feel like they didn't really have a backup plan after Ohtani.
Yeah.
And I would have liked to seen them have some sort of plan after that besides just bringing in Justin Turner. You know, the Yankees brought in Soto. The Orioles are going to only get better. They brought in Corbin Burns, and they didn't really make a big move. So it's like they're not really in the arms race, but they're not as bad as like the Red Sox in this division. So they're, in my opinion, they're just right in the middle. So I like this perfectly for them.
Yeah, and I mean, like, the teams you like the most in the playoffs are the teams that have really good starters. It's just when they got there last year, their starters failed them.
Yeah, that's true. Their rotation is really good. So to give them the flowers, their rotation is good, but... I don't know. I'm just not fully in. Maybe I've been burned by them one too many times.
They're becoming a little bit like
the Chicago White Sox.
A little bit, yeah. Someone like 2021 White Sox were like, shit, man, this team could win the World Series.
Yep.
And it's kind of going through. It's not that bad yet, but it's going through that course.
Someone once I think you compared them to the Buffalo Bills once.
I did. Yeah, I said.
That gives me. I like that analogy too.
They're both in North. Cold places. No.
Yeah. All right. There we go. Good analogy.
Close to Canada. Both close to Canada.
Me when I don't watch sports. Yeah, they look similar.
Yeah. Both animals. No, I did say that their window was open for a bit. And like everyone, remember a couple years ago, that was the sexy pick for, oh, they're going to the World Series.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, we're a couple years removed from that. And like now they're kind of just like.
And Vladdy and Bo are free agents soon.
Yeah.
I think 2 years.
Big decision coming up for them.
Yeah.
You know, who do you go with? Do you bring them both back? And then that changes your whole payroll and how you can manage that team. So, I don't know. Hoping for you, Blue Jays. Rooting for you, but I need to see something this year. Now let's move on to the team that I know the least about. I'm going to be frank with you. I tried to figure it out. I don't really know them. Tampa Bay Rays.
Oh, you're going
to
say Red Sox.
Now we'll talk about that. I mean, they were good last year, and I feel like the Tampa Bay Rays are good every single year.
Right.
But every time I try to analyze their roster, I get confused.
I think everyone does.
Because I don't know who to judge outside of Randy. I'm like, who's going to be good
there's another
in 2024? Who am I blanking on the name?
Yandy Diaz,
yes.
Batting title.
But I always get confused on how to judge them for the upcoming season. Because are they going to just be good like they are every year? I mean, who's going to be the guys on this team? Is Yandy Diaz, obviously, Randy. I mean, they got guys, but they won 99 games last year.
Which is absurd.
99?
They won 99 games.
I mean, they have...
Are they going to just do that again and am I an idiot? Maybe.
They have a whole rotation on the IL between, like, McClanahan, Rasmussen, Jeffrey Springs. Like, good pitchers that they're not going to have.
Traded away Glass now.
For probably the entire year. Like, I'm not sure what the timetables are. And you can kind of cop out and be like, well, they're the Rays. They're going to win. But, like, I don't really know. I feel like people are giving them a little bit too much credit based on, like, past resume. And like you said, like, the AL East got better. Like, it's going to be a Yankees and Orioles arms race, I think. And you can't really sleep on the Red Sox and Blue Jays. So their offense kind of worries me. And I'm a little bit selling on them. I'm not going to lie.
I want to sell on them so bad. I mean, I really do. I mean, their chance to make the playoffs is 61.4%. Is that too high in my head? Maybe a little, but I'm defeated. Like, I don't know. Every time I try to analyze their roster, I do this every year. I always think they're going to be worse than they are, and then they end up just being better than they are, and some random guy comes out, and it's just nasty for them. Now, they have a lot of injuries on their rotation, like you said. I mean, there was a whole They lost a really good player, you know, off-field issues last year. There's a lot of stuff going against them.
Mm.
So it's like, oh, how do you judge this team? I don't know how to judge them, but I still am not selling on them in the AL East. Like, there is a chance in my head that they're the second team in the division I get. Like, yeah. I could see that happening. Are we saying they're going to go from 99 wins to 85? Are they going to have that big of a drop-off?
I mean, 85 will get you into the playoffs.
And that might get you into the playoffs. Yeah.
So 61% feels high.
See, I'm buying it.
You're buying it? I think I'm selling on the Rays a little bit. Because, they need Brandon Lowe to go back to being, like, a 30-40 homer bat. Like, after the top five of Yandy, Lowe, Arozarena, the other Lowe, and then Isak Paredes, like, it really drops off offensively. And, like, you're going to feel that deep into a season. Mm-hmm. So I'm not fully sold on them, especially the back end of their rotation. I'm going to sell on 61%.
See, this is powerful because you're using facts and analysis, and I'm just using fear. But and that's fear is the ultimate motivator in life. See, you know what's happening to this roster.
I never have to watch them, too.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with this team, but I'm horrified of them.
It's voodoo magic.
Like, I am every year. Now, Ronnie, you are the tiebreaker here. You buying or selling on the Rays?
Selling.
Wow. Who sells? Now, obviously, that's a biased take.
Whoa. All willy-nilly.
Hey, I'm just letting you know.
No, see, I just think, like we've been saying, they didn't really get better. I know they can do a lot more with less, but I feel like the top two teams, I mean, can really have a special year this year. So, and all those pitchers injured, I feel like that's an important key.
I agree. I'm so scared. Let's go to the Red Sox. We'll be quick on this one because I talk about them a lot on this show. We kind of cover them a lot. Their chance to make the playoffs is 26.1%. I'm selling on that. I think it's lower than that. I think there's a 10% chance maybe that they make the playoffs. Usually I believe in teams and their ability to get hot. This division's really good. For them to be able to consistently just get to 500, I think is going to be a tough task for them. Their starting rotation has a ton of questions, not only with performance, but health-wise. Their bullpen's probably the strongest part of this team. The lineup's pretty good, but again, there's questions there as well. I mean, this team in this division, there's no investment from ownership. I don't think the coach believes in, the manager believes in them. I don't think the roster believes in them. Rafi Devers doesn't believe in them. So it's tough to ask me to believe in them, so I'm selling.
So here's what I'll say. I made off-season predictions for the starting pitchers at the beginning of the off-season.
I love it.
I'm 3-9. I can be 4-10.
I like a 33% success rate.
If Blake Snell signs with the Red Sox.
Oh, that'd be
which
awesome.
Which is what I wanted them to do from the beginning. Because I think if you add an ace to the top of this rotation, you have like a Snell or Monty on top of Giolito, Brian Baio, who I like.
Baio's good.
Cutter Crawford, who I really like, and peripherals really like.
I think Cutter Crawford has higher potential right now.
You can talk me into this rotation because then there's like three guys who can give you 170 innings, and that matters. And I like the lineup. I like the lineup more than the Rays lineup, if I'm being completely honest.
Lineup's going to hit. They always hit, dude.
Exactly. So like that matters to me. And like it's lefty heavy, which like not a lot of teams have. A lot of teams are looking for lefty bats. The Red Sox have four good ones. And I like Tristan Casas. So like there's a lot to like about the Red Sox. There's also a want for more. But also, like, sometimes they just have years where it clicks. And, like, 2021 is a perfect example of them just, like, clicking and going to the ALCS when no one thought they would. I'll buy 26%. I don't think that's unreasonable at all. You're asking them to leapfrog one of the Blue Jays or the Rays. I think that's the most realistic thing. I think they can do that.
See, I was ready to just pull cold water on this team and move on and not fully get into it. But if they bring in Monty or Snell, my expectations change a lot for them and what they can do. I just have a hard time believing, A, that they're going to do that. And I do think there's a lot of questions around this team in terms of performance. I mean, I'm all in on Casas, but it is a lot to ask for him to repeat what he did last year. Can he do that? That's a big question.
He's got to repeat and get better.
Yeah. I mean, Vaughn Grisham is going to be our everyday second baseman. Is he going to live up to that? To the hype. I mean, Yoshida had a tough end to the season last year, so can he get back to the first half of the season? Can he make those adjustments? There's a lot of questions on this team and how they're going to perform from rotation to lineup, and I believe in them, but until they show me some sort of signing, I can't put them above any other team in this division unbiasedly. So I'm selling. You're buying, Ronnie.
What's the percent?
26.1.
I'm buying because I think that's exactly the percent.
All right, we're buying.
And
Netflix, love it.
Netflix doc.
That is true. Netflix doc. I love that we did a Red Sox segment, and I am the biggest Red Sox fan here, and I sold and you guys bought.
I have one more thing.
Maybe that's good news for me.
Percentage to make the playoffs in the 2021 preseason, 31.9. 5%. That's the difference. And they went to the ALCS.
It's true. The high-end talent on this team, the high-end talent on that team was a lot better, though. They had a lot more talent. And a lot of people were overreacting to the COVID season.
It's the uniform.
It's true. Because Cora wasn't managing in 2020. Right. And everyone was like, this team stunk. They were really bad. JD Martinez is washed. Xander Bogaerts is overrated, even though it was only a 60-game season where they didn't try because they had an interim manager.
Right.
And then 2021, they were like, oh, yeah, we're going to just try playing baseball again.
He's rehooked. Like, CFS, he was talking there. He's back in.
I'm back in.
He's back in.
You can't get me invested in these Red Sox like this, man. I love them.
So we're easily swayed.
I am swayed. I am. That's one thing you know should know about me. I'm a sheep, man. A lot of people are saying one thing. I'll follow the crowd.
You will.
I won't. If a lot of people are walking in one direction, I'm walking
this
in
this is not
direction.
A leadership pod. It's
no,
a follower
no,
pod.
No, no, no. I am not a leadership guy. I'm a follower at heart. Now the two teams that interest me the most. Let's start with the New York Yankees. They added Juan Soto, Alex Verdugo, Marcus Stroman, Tommy Pham.
No.
Not Tommy Pham. Trent Grisham.
That's close. I get Padres those, outfielder.
I get those names always confused. Wrote the wrong name down. They have a 75% chance to make the playoffs. Highest in the division by a lot. Coming off a season where they didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
Are you buying or selling that?
It's the fourth highest odds in baseball to make the playoffs, really high. Alongside Astros, Dodgers, and Braves, so the three best teams. And, yeah, I'm buying, for sure. I mean, you can play the game of, like, well, what if Rodon's bad again? And what if Stroman doesn't pan out in the rotation? You can play that game a little bit, but, like, there's just too much talent here, man. Like, this is going to be, we're just talking about, it's going to be a very annoying year in the office.
It's going to be a tough year.
Because the Yankee fans are going to be loud, because they're going to be really good.
They're going to be good.
And it's the Soto year, so, like, you kind of have, the, like, the walkier Yankees of a lot of impending free agents, so all these guys are going to be playing for their bag as well. It's just right place at the right time to be a Yankees fan, and I think they are a decent favorite to win the AL East. They're still not my division winner pick, but if you're a top wild card seed, you're still in a really good spot.
That's exactly where I land on them. I am buying this playoff percentage 100%. I don't see a world where they don't make the playoffs. What I am selling is their winning division percent, which is 39.3% compared to the Orioles, who were only 16.3%. The Orioles won 101 games last year. The Yankees won 82. 19-game difference there. I don't think the Orioles got worse this year. I actually think they're better.
Yeah.
And the Yankees got a lot better, which I do acknowledge. So they will make the playoffs in my head. I think we are just getting a little ahead of ourselves in immediately saying that they're the best team in the division by, as Fangraphs projects, twice as likely to win the division as the Orioles, who just won 100 games. So I want to slow up the roll a little bit, but, I mean, the Juan Soto numbers this year could be insane.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to be unreal. That Judge-Soto 1-2 pairing, it's going to be nuts. There's a lot of hope in that rotation, even though I don't personally, like, buy into it. I do see where people are coming from.
Yeah.
I am a big believer in the first year of a long-term contract not counting in my head. And Carlos Rodon had that with the Yankees. So year two, you could see something there. Stroman now there. I love Alex Verdugo. He's going to be a good piece for them. So I see the hope.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the rotation is the only thing you can latch onto and be like, eh, maybe. Because, like, who is Clark Schmidt? Like, is Nestor's shoulder okay? But still, there's talent.
We're buying. I think everyone in this room is buying. They will make the playoffs. Last one, we got the Orioles. And I am hard buying on them this year. I believe in them. I only think the arrow's pointing up in their favor. I do have some actual questions because I'm believing you're buying into, right?
Yeah. I'm not buying the percentage, which we'll talk about, because I think it's higher. But yes, I'm buying on them making the playoffs.
That's true. Their percentage is 49.9.
Which is absurd.
That's just almost the same as the Blue Jays. And if you were to ask anybody who's more likely to make the playoffs this year, the Orioles or the Blue Jays, I think it's a layup.
Yeah.
It's the Orioles. The Orioles should be as high as the Yankees, in my opinion.
That's to make the playoffs?
That's to make the playoffs. Less than 50%.
Fangraphs is sleeping on the Orioles. Now, what I am interested in is the actual roster management of this team, because the infield is going to be very fun to watch. Adley Rutschman, you got him behind the plate every single day.
Sure.
Gunnar Henderson was really good last year, rookie of the year. So he split time at shortstop and third base, which is what I was looking into. Now, Jackson Holliday, if he does come up, is a shortstop. Do you think that they move Gunnar to third and then put Holliday a shortstop? Or Gunnar was better defensively at shortstop last year than he was at third base. Is it one of those things maybe we saw at the Padres where you say, hey, let's keep the better defensive shortstop at shortstop in Gunnar Henderson and put Jackson Holliday at second base in his rookie year? Or do they just leave Holliday in the minor leagues and say, hey, Gunnar, shortstop's yours? I feel like there's a lot of questions there. I don't think there's any wrong answers. The only thing that I do want to see, Adam Frazier last year was their everyday second baseman. He wasn't very good. He had a 696 OPS, a 94 OPS plus. They brought in Colton Wong on their minor league contract. So is he the answer to second base while Holliday gets ready? Is it just Jackson Holliday? I'll show it to you, but I'm interested.
Yeah, I mean, the Orioles have long had the issue of, like, we have so many. It's a good issue to have. We have so many talented position players. Where do we put them all? It's an interesting conversation because you hinder Holiday's value a little bit if you make him a second baseman, wherever you end up putting him. But at the same time, you are treating him like the chosen one. You are treating him like the number one overall pick that's going to surge through the minors and instantly change the outlook of your team. So in that vein, if he is making this opening day roster, which I think he is, I think he's the shortstop.
Agreed.
And Gunnar already played third, so I don't think there's a huge caveat there. There are other infielders, Jordan Westberg, who was league average in, I think, 100 games last year, and they expect him to be better, and he plays every infield position. So I don't really think there's a huge issue there. I really liked the Colton Wong signing for them as, like, insurance because I think he's got good years left. He's only 33 years old.
I agree. I liked it too.
Good as recently as 2022, so I liked it a lot there. And then outside of just the infield, which I think has a chance to be the most talented in baseball, you have Walker Santander, who was great last year and will probably be good again.
Yep.
Ryan O'Hearn, who they fully unlocked for nothing, getting him from the Royals.
He was nasty.
He was so good, and they have this perfect platoon with him and Mountcastle. It's just I don't understand how they landed at 49.9% and a projected 83 wins after they, I think they lost Aaron Hicks, which, you know, he was good for them last year, and they lost Frazier rather, and they added the best prospect in baseball and a guy who won the Cy Young 2 years ago. How do their projections go down from that? I don't really understand.
And their rotation should be, despite the Kyle Bradish injury, like Grayson Rodriguez should have a better year.
You expect him to be better. Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of, in my opinion, I mean, Felix Bautista's out for the whole year of Tommy John. They brought in Craig Kimbrell. He is in terms of regular season, he's a perfectly good option for closing out 30 to 35 baseball games. Like, he's going to get that done for you. I don't understand any questions about the regular season for this Orioles team. I think they're kind of a lock to be winning 95 games in my head. They're going to be a really good team. So much that what I'm interested in is defensive positioning more than anything else. I'm just curious who plays where. So I do agree. I think Gunnar should go to third base, although he did win Rookie of the Year, and he was really good. So I think you got to give him a little.
Yeah, that's the weird part.
If he's nasty at shortstop, man, I mean, you got to give the guy who's been there and done it for a year, are you going to move him if he's really comfortable there? I'm really interested to see. Yeah, the Orioles could have back-to-back Rookie of the Year winners this year.
And I like that you brought that up because the biggest discussion with them always is the rotation. Sure. And, like, I'm not worried about their rotation. Tyler Wells, like, led the league in whip for 5 months, and then he just got hurt at the end, so people forget about him. Cole Irvin's thrown like 96 when he was thrown 91 last year. Like, they have good pitching. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about it at all.
John Means still there?
He's got elbow soreness, but he should be back in like a month.
Okay. I'm always interested in the young guys when it comes to who plays where, who bats where. I do think it matters a little bit in terms of, like, who's the alpha.
We just talked about it with Henry Davis.
Exactly.
It's the same thing.
Do you know where you're playing every single day? Do you know where you're hitting every single day? Because, I mean, there's going to be a stretch this year if Jackson Holliday plays the whole season where he sucks.
Yeah.
It's just going to happen. Gunnar's going to have a bad month. They're still young. So having the insurance of, hey, we're not going to move you, you're here all 162 games, I think it's going to help them a lot. So I really hope the Orioles establish that early on for that team. That's the only question I have about them. That wraps up our AO East segment. Now let's move on to the NO East.
Oh boy.
We got to do a hat change. Now this is your segment, Jolly, so I expect absolute ball knowledge.
Jesus. The pressure's on.
The pressure's on. Let's start off with the Braves because I think they're the easiest one to
do. Bye.
In this, their chance to make the playoffs, if I am correct, is at 98.5%.
Should be higher.
It should be 100% because that's an easy buy for me. I don't know about you guys. They have the highest odds to make the World Series of any team in baseball.
Wow.
At
24.9%.
25% chance to win the World Series.
Win the World Series.
Oh, it's nuts.
25%.
That's nuts.
Now, if we really break it down, pretty easy to understand why. They had Ronald Acuna last year, 40-70.
Best player in
baseball. Won the MVP. Was the best player in baseball. Matt Olson finished fourth in the MVP. He hit 50 homers, by the way.
Dude.
I got Spencer Strider, who, in my opinion, if healthy, will strike out 300 hitters this year.
Right.
He struck out 287 batters last year. He's going to do it. I believe in that. Max Fried is a player that I actually think matters so much to this team because he's freaking nasty when he's right, man.
Walker,
2022. He was second in Cy Young voting. Mm-hmm. Last year, he had the same exact stats as he did in 2022, but he got hurt. Same ERA, same strikeouts per nine. He was just as nasty, man. Yep. And he's going to be healthy for the full year, hopefully. So if he's healthy for the full year, that 1-2 combo, I mean, give me any 1-2 in baseball, and they're going with you. They're right. going to be really good. Now, you watch this team all the time, Charlie. Is there any holes?
Their only hole is, like, if this Ronald Acuna injury has any levity to it, which, like, that changes their outlook for sure. But at the same time, like, it doesn't really. Like, they're going to be fine. They won the World Series without him in 2021, and they're a better team than they were back then. So, no, there's no hole on this Braves team. It is a living nightmare. Chris Sale is throwing, like, 100 in spring training.
Yeah, by the way, what the hell?
So that's just, like, why the fuck not, right?
Let me go off for 1 sec. What the hell is this, man? I saw a graphic. It's like, Chris Sale, he's like, this is the best I've felt since 2017. Yep. I'm showing 100. There's no, great offseason with rehab.
No, see, you're learning.
What the hell's going on?
Dude, this is how the Braves roll. They, as soon as I saw that trade, I was like, oh, okay, so he's going to win comeback player of the year. Also added Kelnick. Like, for nothing.
Yeah.
They traded a guy for Kelnick who instantly had to get Tommy John surgery 2 weeks into his new team.
That's crazy.
And Kelnick, you already know, he's 24 years old. He's going to break out fully for them. The Braves run the world.
Incoming 10-year extension for $3.
$3.
If Chris Sale is nasty and healthy for a full year, I'm checking myself in the therapy.
If there was a place where I could put money on it, I would.
Guys, frustrates me. I think that's a lock. We're all buying it.
Super buy.
Phillies. Now, I don't know if they've upgraded these. I guess it wouldn't really matter because it was just an extension for Zach Wheeler. But they have a 58.6% chance to make the playoffs. Again, we talked about this earlier in the show. They didn't really add anybody. They are going to get a full year of healthy Bryce Harper, Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola. Everybody knows that roster at this point. They did bring in Whit Merrifield. I think 58.6 is a good line. I think it should be a little higher because I think they're a guarantee to make the playoffs. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they're the third best team in the National League. I think it's Braves, Dodgers, and them, and they have the edge of they've performed in the playoffs where the other two hasn't. So it's hard not to buy into that. I think things would have to go pretty badly for something to prevent them from being the top wildcard team. Yeah. Like I don't know if they can usurp the Braves. I think that's going to be the question for them every year of this window is can we get a leg up on them some way? And I don't see it right now, but it could click that way if Stott gets better and Bryce Harper plays the full year healthy at first base and the rotation, all that. So I'm super buying them making the playoffs. I don't think there's any question there. It's just I think they're trying to aim higher.
See, I don't think it matters in terms of regular season for them. Like they have the Braves at an 88% chance to win the division. And I think, that's mostly because the Braves are really good. I also don't think the Phillies care to win the division.
Yeah, there was a big discussion about that last year. I don't know.
I don't think they could if they if the Phillies were like, we're trying to win the division. Right. I still don't think they could win the division. I think the Braves are a better team than them over 162. But I mean, if you're the Phillies, does it matter at this point?
That's the thing. I think the Braves are adopting a little bit of that mindset too. Like, I think it's get into the dance and perform there. Either way. And like, there's been a lot of talk about like the rest days in between playoff rounds, which nobody cares about. It's just, I think they are a division-winning caliber team. Mm-hmm. So if they can hit that ceiling, because I don't think they've won the division since like...
It's been a while.
It's been a long time. Since like the World Series year. So I'd like to see them, you know, aim a little bit higher. But at the same time, just all they have to do is beat the Braves.
I agree. And the difference, the only team that's beaten the Braves is the Phillies.
Right.
And like they won a World Series and then they lost to the Phillies 2 years in a row. So it's like outside of the Phillies, there isn't a team in baseball who's beating the Braves. And really the difference in last year's playoff series was Bryce Harper just became like the best player ever.
Right.
For five games. It's like, what are you gonna do when that happens? So, I mean, I believe the Phillies will make the playoffs, but it's a crapshoot between those two teams once you get there because they're just going to slug it out, and whoever's hot is hot. So it'll just kind of go how it goes.
Any thoughts on first baseman Harper?
I love it.
Yeah.
It makes me a little sad just because I'm like, oh, he's getting older. You know, he's moving to first base.
And like,
he
can still play.
He can still play right field. You know? But I love when players, especially when they're still really, really good, take a different role to help the team out. I think it's an awesome move and probably good for his long-term career as well. So I love it. He was also pretty good last year when he played there.
Yeah, he's like a hard-nosed guy that's going to work really hard to understand it. So like, I have no doubt that he could like win a gold glove there one day. It's just, I agree with what you said. It's kind of sad he's entering his 30s, so he's entering a latter stage of his career.
I feel the same way about Trout. Now, the reason I'm so high on the Phillies and Braves is, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think any of these other three teams in the division, maybe the Marlins, really care to make the playoff or going to make the playoffs or fully invested in this season. So it feels like the Phillies, Braves, division, and then everybody else. Let's talk a little bit about the Marlins because I think they're the team with the best chance to do something. What's your look on them?
They're weird. I don't know, man. Like,
I don't know either.
I want to pull up this stat really quick because I think that they had some Marlins magic going last season in terms of their performance in, what was it? Yeah, one-run games. The Marlins were 33-14 last year.
Oh, my goodness.
So even if they crash back down to 500, they're a team that's well below 500 last year. But that you could say that for a lot of playoff teams. Like, a big part of the regular season is just winning those close games and getting the edge up. And I think a big part of that was they improved their bullpen. They had offense going. But I did hate their offseason. They didn't do anything. They failed to bring back Soler. Their biggest addition was Tim Anderson, who can still be great. You know, we've seen him be great. But
as we learned on this show, no Sandy this season.
Oh,
every episode, Ronnie's reminded.
I'm hearing this for the first time.
I mean, you don't love the Tim Anderson, Josh Bell?
No, I dig it. Like, I dig the aesthetic of the team. It's just, I don't know, man. Like, it's the same discussion every year. It's like, can the offense perform? You like the rotation, even without Sandy. Like, it's still good. But for me, it's like, if they play 500 ball in one-run games, they're at 74-win team. Like, that scares me a lot.
So they have a 31.1% chance to make the playoffs.
I think I'm selling, which feels mean, but I'm selling.
I'm going to buy because it's so low, but I do agree that I think this team isn't going to make the playoffs, but 31.1% chance is like, I think there's a higher chance than 30. I have it as 50-50.
I mean, they won the same amount of games as the Diamondbacks last year. So factor that in. 84 wins got you to the World Series or got you bounced immediately in the wild card.
I think the Marlins can win. I think they could win 84 games again. Do I think it will happen? No. But at 31%, I think it's higher than that. I'm going to buy those odds.
You know what it really is, dude? It's just like, is Jazz Chisholm finally going to be an MVP candidate? Like, are we actually going to finally see that? Because that's the only thing that tips them over the edge for me. Every other team above them has that star player.
Yeah, it's true. But I don't know. Baseball works in weird ways. I feel like if there is going to be a star player, I don't know if Jazz would be the guy to do it for them this year. His health is a big concern for me. Who it? The guy may be someone we don't know yet.
Jake Berger.
Yeah, I don't know. I like Jazz. The health thing's a big worry for me.
Yeah,
he's not playing 162 games. He doesn't do that. I mean, that's the most important thing for me in baseball. Is like, are you playing 150 games every year? Yeah. I mean, if he does, he could be good. So I do have hope in that. But
I'm selling.
I'll buy it just to show it to Ronnie.
I'm buying because Yuri Perez is a distant cousin of mine. So
the bias from you is
such bias. At least you're being upfront about it, though.
Yeah. Hey, I appreciate the upfrontness. Yeah. We'll buy, but I think it's because the odds are so low. If those were 45%, I'm selling. But 31, that's really low.
Yeah. And, like, the wild card's kind of wide open in the National League. Yeah, who
else? If we're talking about Marlins versus someone else, I mean, it gets pretty dicey for me.
Yeah.
Last, I mean, you talk about, I guess the Nationals. I have literally no notes on the Nationals.
Come on.
I have no
attitude,
notes.
Dude.
They have 0.2% chance to make the playoffs, and I did not write a single sentence about them, and I love their City Connect jerseys, but I'm not talking about the Nationals.
Joey Gallo?
No. Okay. The Mets.
Get milked.
Get milked. Sorry, Nats. I mean, it's just, if I wasn't a Red Sox fan, I'd do the same thing to the Red Sox.
10 a.m. on a Monday.
Now, Jolly, you talk about the Mets a lot. You have to go to a Mets podcast after this.
True.
Give me a quick rundown on the Mets. I don't think they're making the playoffs this year. Their odds are 28.2%. I don't think they particularly care to make the playoffs this year. What do you
think? Yeah, I mean, they kind of outwardly said, like, we're restructuring for 2025. But I do think they had a very active offseason.
I agree.
They get some points for that. They tried plugging in parts and seeing what fits. It's a lot of question marks, like a ton of question marks. Like, can the prospects perform? Is the rotation going to hold up? Because it's already crumbling with Senga, like, before the season even starts.
That was very sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, if you have a David Stearns-led team, you know you're going to get good defense and a good bullpen, and that can win you a lot of close games, like we just talked about with the Marlins. And, like, maybe it's a little bit of delusional Mets fan, but, like, you have the top three teams, Braves, Dodgers, Phillies, they're a lock to make the playoffs.
True.
Then it's kind of the Wild West with, like, D-backs, Giants, Padres, Cubs, Mets, Marlins. Like, any three of those seven teams could probably get a wild card spot if I had to guess.
I like the optimism.
So I don't know. Like, if we're talking the Mets in the American League, I think it's done. Like, there's no chance because it's so top heavy. I'll buy, just to be contrarian.
Wow. I'm actually buying, too.
Wow.
And I'm going to give you an optimistic spin. I don't think it matters if they make the playoffs this year, in their mind. And I like that. And I also like the fact that this is a really good learning year.
Yes.
If the Mets are willing, which I do believe they will, spend next offseason.
Yeah.
Because you're going to figure out who on this team is going to be a part of the Mets team that you believe can win the division and compete with the Braves.
It's a very good point.
So there's a lot of people on this roster. I mean, especially with the rotation, a lot of question marks, just up and down. So it's like figure out who's good, who's not, who's going to be a part of this team long term. And I don't know. I always like the teams with talent, like Pete Alonso, Francisco Lindor. Like, I like those teams with high-end talent and then a bunch of question marks, especially in a weaker NL. I think there is a chance that maybe they do what the Marlins did last year and just are nasty in one-run games, and hey, here you go. You're in the playoffs.
It's a little bit of Red Sox, too. Like, there's not expectations, so who knows? Maybe you could surprise people.
Exactly. I like their roster a little bit better. So I think this is a fun year for you in terms of low expectations and high potential. So
whatever happens,
happens. Also, they're
Alonso walk year.
Alonso walk year.
Also, 28.2%.
That's higher than I thought it was going to be, for sure.
Yeah, it's right around where it's at, about 25%. I'll take that.
We'll take it.
I'll buy it.
We'll take it.
I mean, we'll give you some love here. Now let's move to our final section of the show. Thank you.
The Nationals.
Oh, if you're still watching and listening, I appreciate you. At the end of every show, we read five questions from the comments. I'm trying to think of a segment name for it, Ronnie. I was thinking maybe it's a five and fly. Five questions and we're out.
5 seconds in heaven. I don't know.
Seconds in heaven?
No.
You know, we'll think. But make sure you comment every week on the video and we'll read your questions live on the show. Let's get to our first one. Question for both of you. Well, all three of us, since Jolly's here as well. What is your favorite condiment? Mine is easily barbecue sauce.
Ooh.
Good question.
You want to go first?
He said barbecue.
No,
he was reading the comment.
Reading the comment.
Oh.
Barbecue sauce is also my favorite, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't take honey barbecue sauce.
Fire me up.
Tell me if this counts or not. And you guys know that I don't frequent this place too often. But when I do, I make sure I stock up on Chick-fil-A sauce. Chick-fil-A sauce
counts.
Is up there for me.
Yeah.
It counts.
Yeah,
it's up there.
Yeah. Some people would be like, you know, Gen Z, but it's pretty good.
I think that, but you can just count that as like a mix.
Well, you can buy it at the store now in condiment bottles, so I count it.
It's like a mix of barbecue.
Can?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can buy it.
Dude, it's awesome.
That's a dangerous game to play.
It's like ketchup bottle with Chick-fil-A sauce.
That's scary. Huge. Scary to do.
I'm going with ranch. I'm a big ranch guy.
Ranch is overrated.
All right.
Terrible opinion.
Right.
Next question, Ronnie. What did you do before JM?
What I do before JM? Well, I was in college. So I kind of did JM and college at the same time.
Wow, dog.
For a little bit. But I was like a sports broadcaster. So
Ronnie was calling games?
It was good. I've heard it recently. You're good at it.
I called a lot of basketball games for Seton Hall University. Nice. Go Pirates.
Go Rutgers.
I called a lot of baseball. Fun fact, called the first ever Spanish broadcast at my college radio station, and it happened to be a no-hitter.
It was magical. Your call was great.
Is there evidence of that call? I want to hear.
There is. I mean, it's on my computer.
You don't have to pull it up now.
Yes.
Separately. Okay, cool. That's all. I didn't know that. That's
off the record. Well, Jolly, I'll ask a question for you, too. What about you? I mean, I know, but for the people.
Oh, I was an English major studying to be an English teacher, and most of the writing I did was playwriting. Fun fact, just a lot of like conversation-based stuff. And then when COVID hit and nobody was doing anything with plays, I started sports writing, and that's what led me here.
That's magical. Good answers. Next question. Would you rather see a World Series between two juggernauts that dominate in the regular season and the postseason, so let's say Braves and Orioles last year, or underdogs?
Could have said the Yankees.
I said last year. Or two underdogs who barely made it and fought it through the playoffs. Now, that's kind of what we got last year. With the two wildcard teams going to the World Series.
Yeah.
And the Diamondbacks. I have an answer. Ronnie, go first.
I have an obvious answer.
You go first, Ronnie.
Juggernauts, please.
Juggernauts.
Yeah, there's a little bit of fatigue with me for the underdog teams. Like, it's nice when it happens, but the fact that it's been like 2 years in a row, it's like, can I see a number one seed actually get the job done? So I think I'm going Juggernauts too.
I'll go Juggernauts based on last year, because I do want the regular season to matter. And if you win 100 games and make it to the World Series, I think it puts a little bit more emphasis on being good in the regular season. Whereas if you just make it as a wild card team, everyone's like, just make the dance and we'll see what happens.
Exactly.
So I think we'll all go Juggernauts. I think that's probably because last year was wild cards. Who is someone you really wanted your team to sign? This could be at any time. As a Cardinals fan, I really wanted them to bring in Schwarber before he went to Philly.
Dude, he stole my answer.
That was Schwarber?
My answer was going to be Kyle Schwarber to the Mets.
Wow, good answer. I wanted Schwarber to come back to the Red Sox. Everybody wants Kyle Schwarber.
Perfect in this. I talk about this so much. He would have been perfect in the Mets lineup.
He would have
lefty power bat.
He would have been great. Pete. You got an answer, Ronnie?
This offseason?
Could be any time. Is there ever a player that stuck out to you and you're like, bring him in?
I guess this offseason, just off the top of my head, I wanted the Yankees to get Cease.
Oh.
I like that.
Yeah.
I wanted Rizzo when he was
I thought Rizzo was going to be a Red Sox. Me too. I really did.
I thought that year that Schwarber went to the Red Sox and Rizzo was going to go to the Yankees, I thought it was going to be flipped.
I really wanted Rizzo, and Schwarber ended up working out for the Red Sox.
Rizzo was a Red Sox, though. You guys
early in his career.
Yeah, you guys already had him.
All right. Like when during trade deadline, I wanted him back. And then our last question is, Zoe, I really enjoyed our Camp Fork song in the last Ice video. Will there be more music from you guys in general? Well, speaking of which, we have a new video coming out today, and at the end, there will be a new song. So appreciate you guys, and we'll keep doing that more often. Jolly, thanks for taking the time and joining
tonight. No problem, man. I can't wait for the EP.
The EP dropping soon. Make sure you guys subscribe to his channel, Ronnie. As always, great work today, and we will see you guys next week. Bye-bye.